Hello, I am Heather Ehlers, and I am on the board of the ICMTA, International Conscious Movement Teachers Association. And we thought a great way to share knowledge and inspiration amongst the ICMTA teacher community would be a series of conversations between teachers. So today, I am going to be speaking with Bodhi, my esteemed colleague, who teaches several forms of movement. And we're just going to talk about what we do and why we do it. And hang out with each other for a while. Hey, Bodhi, how you doing?
Hey there. Yeah, that was a nice, spacious introduction. So it's great to. Oh, it's just great to be here. You know, we go back now quite a number of years, don't we, with our involvement through Open Floor and the ICMTA. So this is a great opportunity to hang out, have a chat, and. And that element of inspiration, you know, teaching and inspiration, and I always find that when I drop into that space, it reminds me of how I can feed myself. It also reminds me how I can nourish myself. So I'm actually looking forward to this reflection and seeing what comes out the other end, actually, not knowing where it's going to go.
So Bodhi, do you want to talk a little bit about what you teach, what you do?
Right. There's a few there. Down the list, there's Five Rhythms, Open Floor Movement Practice, and Freedom Dance also. And within that, though, where all that kind of started, where all that really came from, is I would say that my foundation underneath all that is actually mindfulness, is my actual practice that I was doing for a good several years, and I was part of a community and within Buddhism for a number of years as well. So as an embodiment practice, I would list that in there myself. Seeing movement as a form of embodied mindfulness in a way. Maybe just to more jazzy kind of music. Just and bells.
That's beautiful.
We share some of that journey. I mean, I know that you're Five Rooms also.
Yeah, I studied with Gabrielle. I did her last teacher's training, and then I've become an Open Floor teacher, and I'm a working member at Open Floor. That's the practice that's true to my heart right now, that I really love. And I've been teaching for 20 years at an arts college called California Institute of the Arts. So I teach young actors movement, how to move in their bodies. So before I started practicing this conscious dance, I was doing other kinds of movement, and I've been a yogi, a yogini for decades, and I've studied with several sublime teachers. I'm like certified in three different types of yoga. Not that any of that certification means anything, but I have a regular practice that has changed over the years. And when you talk about mindfulness, that's part of it. Now I'm probably my strongest daily practice is sitting meditation. So I'm personally physically moving less and on the outside, but moving more on the inside with my breath.
I find that fascinating. You know, there's you saying about the yoga background as well, and more often than not, you know, I find this with many teachers that there is some other embodiment practice as well. And with myself, it was Qigong, actually. so much Tai Chi, but the Qigong side of Tai Chi. And I went for classes for a number of years before I did the training, Five Rooms training, that is, and was really, really captivated, really, really connected with that connection with breath and movement.
For me, it's like two almost polar opposite ways of getting to the same place. Like sitting zazen was absolutely still. I just literally would sit still and have these like whoa epiphanies sometimes, and moving to music, conscious dance, moving just organically, spontaneously improvising. I would get to a point where my body would get so exhausted that something else would happen and take over, and I'd get to that same oh place. But it was after sweat, drenching sweat of like letting go, letting go, letting go, pushing and letting go, and then allowing something to move me so that I was danced instead of Heather dancing. I became the dance. The same way as I sat on my cushion trying to breathe, I eventually stopped trying and allowed myself to be breathed. So I became breath. And that place of wow, I mean, that's what I love. That's where I get like, that's what keeps me coming back, is that place of timeless spaciousness where I'm part of something bigger, where my ego sort of dissolves and I feel, oh, what can I say? Like at one with nature. It's like, you know, I used to hate the word God because I was a pagan atheist who, you know, and now I embrace that word because it sort of just encompasses everything and nothing at the same time, for me.
Yeah, there's always that slight danger, isn't there? I know, of sounding a bit twee or a bit, kind of weird, coming out with cliches, but in fact, actually, the more I'm involved with my practice, the more the cliches are proving to be true in a way, and how simple things are. The more simple something is, actually, I find the more that it touches me. And I think my dances and my movement practice has gone down that road as well. Slower and just more simple, but actually just as connected as those big sweat-induced dances of 10 and 15 years ago. Yeah, so it's shifted itself. It hasn't actually stayed the same. Definitely, I can relate to that.
How do you feel a difference with the people you're teaching? I mean, as a teacher, how are you different now than
Well, to be perfectly honest, not really, no, because there's always a collective, there's always a mixed collective rather in the group, and you've got your when I say youngsters, I'm talking about 30-year-olds now, full of energy and full of beans, and so there's always that kind of balance, and yeah, so within my teaching, anyway, within a class situation, anyway, there's that element of wanting to go through a cycle and just have a good dance, really. But where it has shifted is within the bigger pieces of work, within the workshops and the retreats and things like that, which allow to everything to slow down and to really explore in a lot more spaciousness without this need, without the need of just putting everything into an hour and a half or 2 hours, really. Which a class is an intense experience, really, and I think very different to like a workshop experience, as we know. Yeah, it's different courses for different folks, maybe, in a way. But yeah, and yeah, do you have anything around that to say?
For me, when you talk about the difference between a class and a workshop, I think that's why I love workshops, because it's a deep delve into something that has time to sustain and marinate, and there's a trajectory with a it just the process is deeper sometimes. I think that's part of what I love. The first part of my life through my 20s and 30s, I was an actress. I made a living as an actress, and I was practicing yoga always to support me, but I made a living performing. And it was sort of like when people would say, just be yourself, I thought, well, which one? Which part of me, which role? There was always, I was a shapeshifter, a chameleon. I would transform, and that was part of what I loved, was transformation. And that's still part of what I love. But the work of, like, for example, doing a play is like you get people together. You don't know them. They come together. You share the most deepest, most vulnerable parts of yourselves with each other, and you immediately form a bond, and you really connect on a very profound level. And then the play's over, and you leave, and you don't see them again. And there is something that really appealed to me about that. And it's the same thing on the dance floor. What I kept finding is I would have these intense engagements with people where I would fall in love or have some like physical, emotional battle with someone on a dance floor who I didn't even know, where they were sort of a mirror for me, and we were engaged without words on some deep connection. And then the song would change and it'd be over and I'd move on. And it just, there was something cathartic and transformative and healing about that for me, that probably is what seduced me into this work in the first place.
Yeah, wow, I can resonate and relate to almost every word of that, really. And especially is how you can either go to a class or go to a workshop, and you walk out the door, and and then there's another experience then as well, with myself, I think it was around being stuck. So I felt as though, even though, as I said before, this element of like having a strong mindfulness practice or sitting practice, and even though I was doing Qigong, but there was always part of me that felt kind of sort of a bit stuck, and my energy always felt like heavy and stuck. And it wasn't until Nina Robertson actually was one of my first teachers in North London, with Five Rhythms, and stepping into Jackson's Lane Community Hall, and that first dance, just like something just sparked and connected, and really allowed something else to open up, which is a part of me, of course, that was just waiting there to be opened up in a way,
Yeah, I'm trying to think of my first, probably in terms of conscious dance, Michael Skelton and Joe Cobbett were in LA, were the first ones that I danced with. And then at Esalen, Kathy Altman did a workshop with Jonathan Horan that I attended, and that's where I met Karsten, who's now my husband all these years later, in a Five Rhythms workshop at Esalen in Big Sur. Who would have ever thought? And it changed my life. And that was right around the time where, I was in my early 40s, and I'd been dancing my whole life, but never this kind of dance, this sort of free form, organic dance. It had always been a more disciplined or practice. So this just sort of like burst something open in my heart that just opened me up, and I fell in love with it. And every time my agent would call for an audition, it always seemed to be when there was like a Five Rhythms workshop that I was in or something, and I would choose the workshop over the audition, and eventually that just took precedence. And it was perfect when I got this job teaching at a college that I could continue to be around actors, theater people, and integrate movement with it. It's like the perfect combination.
And what would you say kind of inspires you now? I realize, we've talking spoken about kind of what brought us along on the journey. What would you say inspires you now within your work, within conscious movement?
Oh, that's a good question. The first thing that came to mind was my students. I mean, I am so lucky and privileged and grateful that I get to teach these. I mean, they're teenagers. They're like 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. They are these passionate, talented, beautiful people that are creative artists, and they just are willing to give everything, and they're like little sponges, and they're honest, and they keep me honest, and they have so much energy and life force vitality, and they're hungry for knowledge. It gives me hope for the future. It's just exciting, and I realize that they keep me honest. They keep me like in beginner's mind, where I have to keep going back and articulating some real basic things that I keep forgetting myself. So it's good teaching. It's like I'm teaching what I have to keep learning. And I realize I'm old enough now that I actually have some information. I have some wisdom from all these great teachers that I've studied with for years. And that's the inspiration that I draw on are, every once in a while, the voice of Gabrielle Roth or Andrea Juhan or Kathy Altman or Laurie Saltzman. These are people that have just dropped pearls into my vessel that I get to, pass along.
Pass along. That element of passing the dance on in many ways, or passing your passion on as well.
Yeah.
I can relate to that also.
How about you? What inspires you right now? Where do you get your inspiration?
Yeah, well, likewise, it's quite a big question. I again, I could say the same thing, but I don't teach in the same context as yourself. I know that you're an art center and involved in a whole drama program and everything else, taking people through a whole educational course. But for me, I think, well, speaking as a gay man, actually, there's something about lineage. There's something about kind of, wanting to. It's difficult to put into words, really. I guess what it is like my own healing, and what I feel I've gained and empowered myself through embodiment practice and mindfulness, etc., and dance. There's something about just wanting to pass that on, exactly what you're saying. But for me, it's more to do with like the community, although I would honestly say within the UK or within London, the LGBT or gay community is very fragmented. So that is the impetus there, is for a sense of community, for a sense of belonging, for people to have that core. For me, it's been a core wound, actually. And that element of how I've managed to sort of nourish that and nourish myself through that is actually through, these sweaty dance floors and the workshops, and when, I mean, that, yeah, the vulnerability and those juicy moments of people just being very true, actually, where words are not needed. You're just in the field. You're in the field of that as well. And also some, and sometimes, words are also appropriate, the closing circles or sharing, that's all in the mix as well. Yeah, there's just something very honest about it, really. The stuff just drops away for me. And I think that's giving somebody else that opportunity to experience that. That's the kind of motivation, that's the kind of inspiration, is the value in that, to, as you say, kind of pass that on in some way.
That's one of the things that I love most about the ICMTA. I mean, talking about community, one of the reasons why I got involved with the organization, I mean, obviously it was as an open floor teacher, we need to be part of an organization that has an ethical code, which, it's like a union basically. And I didn't want to get personally involved with it until I went to one of these teachers' gatherings where there were people from all different disciplines. So there were, movement medicine. Now there's Azul, Path of Azul, Freedom Dance, Open Floor, Five Rhythms, all of these different teachers were there. And yet we all danced together in a way where there wasn't any competition, there wasn't any tensions. It was a real celebration of different types of dance coming together, different schools coming together and celebrating conscious movement. Just, there are different ways to getting there, but it was all really the same field that we were dancing in, and the sense of community was just exhilarating. It was like, oh my God, these are my people. Like, these are my people. These people communicate and in a way that I and express in a way and inspire me. And that was part of what inspired me to be part of ICMTA, was just that, and the fact that the organization is run with the model of dynamic governance, sociiocracy, which is this form, I mean, as you know, that invites radical inclusion, transparency, creativity. It's efficient, it's effective.
It allows everyone to have a voice, doesn't it, as well? That element there that you can be involved and you really know that you can be heard as well. It's really run by teachers for teachers. It's not just a statement, it really is.
It really is. It's another thing that gives me hope. When there are systems that actually work in practice, that aren't just theoretical and good ideas, but that actually I see what a difference it makes when everyone together moves forward in a way that no one person has to carry.
Yeah, and that's inspiring in itself, isn't it? Like it's really happening. It's alive in the moment. And when you were saying there about the different schools and the different teachings, it made me think, and exactly what you said about the element that actually we all get to the same place. In fact, it's just the same dance, but maybe different language or different wording of that same experience, that embodied, clear, kind of spacious, kind of connected experience, actually, with self, really, a self and other. I've been just out of interest, not any kind of study as such with doing training, but I've been quite interested with some of Emily Conrad's teachings with Continuum. And one teachings that I've taken away from my bit of investigative kind of research around that is I love her phrase that she says that connection begins here, not there. How can I possibly be connected with someone else or something else there unless I'm connected here? It has to start here. It can't start anywhere else. You have to connect here first in order to go there. And when she gave that teaching, it was just like, wow, but well, of course, that's the wound, unless you're willing
She
to go.
was one of my teachers. I mean, she like down the street. I live in Santa Monica. She was just down the street from me. And Susan Harper, also, who does continuum montage work, great inspirations, great teachings, so simple and yet profound, profound, deep and profound. And I love that there are so many, different ways. Anna Halperin is someone else I've studied with. Vin Arjuna Marti, someone else I've, studied a little with, and different ways to getting to that place of connection, of relational connection.
And it's just, and it, and that's the point. It just sounds so simple. You can put that in just to a couple of words, but that could be a whole lifetime, to get there, really.
It is a whole lifetime. And that for teaching young actors, that's it. It's like, how do you teach someone to be fully present and authentic so that they can receive and listen and take in information and organically, spontaneously respond from a real deep and authentic place and allow their imaginations to move through their body so that it can the body can be a tool for their
Yeah, to feed through that. Yeah.
It's such a simple thing. It's like, yeah, you just walk and talk and listen and respond, and it's like it takes years of practice to make it really alive and honest and true.
Are you working on something at the moment? Is there something that you're particularly involved with or that's in the pipeline for you?
I'm like, what am I? Well, I'm teaching full time right now. So I teach 4 days a week for 3 hours. And then I'm gonna be teaching a ground floor lab online with Deborah J. Lewin for Open Floor in May, which I'm kind of excited about because I love the open floor curriculum, and I love these ground floor labs that really set up, people for beginning training to teach this. It goes over the core movement resources that are part of open floor, and it's a beautiful practice.
Yeah, beautiful doorway into those teachings. Yeah, I love that. A common, what's it called? Common source or something, isn't it? It's all open source or something. Yeah.
So just attribution, it's like you can you like move and include, you can take it from anywhere as long as you just mention the source. It's all open and it's given away for free. I love that. It's a beautiful. How about you? How about yourself? What have you got going on right now? Coming up.
Well, it's a time for pause, as we all know, with the current situation, because here we are at the beginning of 2021. So with movement, my work is online, just offering I offer a class a couple of times a month, and I'm looking at doing an ongoing group. At the end of last year, I did a whole weekend with Freedom Dance with dancers from Moscow, and it really inspired me, actually. It's made me realize, I think, the potential. At the moment, we know we're kind of forced, because of the restrictions and everything else. We're forced online in a way, but it's kind of made me realize the potential of when we come through that the other side, of how possibly to mix the media where there's live sessions and also Zoom sessions, because the action was amazing, absolutely amazing. And the fact that you can just like put on your computer, you can be in your lounge or in your bedroom or somewhere, and then for that hour be transported with a group of other people on your screen somewhere else and have an experience like that. I think, if there's anything to come from all this lockdown and everything as teachers, I think it's opened up a whole new way of teaching for us that maybe we wouldn't have fully explored before. So I'm quite excited by that in many ways, how the two can actually come together, even when, whatever new normal is, we start to move back into that,
So totally agree with you. I mean, the fact that you and I are talking right now and you're halfway across the world and that we have a relationship that has been cultivated and fostered through Zoom, through the capacity of technology, is kind of,
7 years.
yeah, for years. We've been doing this for years. And of course, there's nothing like dancing together in person, like how I love that. And yet, you're right. I think integrating technology into this is the opportunities are immense.
I mean, for my own practice at the moment, I'm actually doing an ongoing group with another teacher. So I'm dropping into their group once every 2 weeks, and we're meeting for 8 sessions. And I've danced with quite a few other teachers online over these last several months. And what I find is that the body memory is there exactly from the dance floor. That body memory is there. And suddenly I can see in my mind's eye that I'm with somebody, or I'm dancing like somebody, or I embody something that is related to a group, a class, a workshop, or something. And it's like all that kind of body memory is just under the surface, just waiting to be sort of tapped into. So that's where I think it could be an exciting edge, where you can be with the two.
I like it. I like that.
At the moment, work-wise, I've got some therapy work that I'm doing, but I'm appreciating the pause, actually. I am actually appreciating the slowing down as well.
Me too.
And
Me too.
so needed.
Yeah. And in Los Angeles, where I used to drive everywhere, I'd have to drive to work and I had to drive everywhere. I've been walking. Everything has slowed down. I don't drive as much, and it's I'm appreciating having my feet on the earth, walking around rather than transporting real quickly places. I'm liking slowing down.
Anything else you want to say, but maybe before we.
I don't know. What would you want to say to a new teacher to encourage someone? What would do you have any wise tidbits that you would pass on from your years of experience, since you and I are
Wow.
old, becoming elders now?
Well and truly stepping into that, yes. I would say, well, I mean, for anyone that's maybe been involved in one of the teaching paths, this might seem obvious, but I would say, that spark, that kind of what brought you along to the practice yourself and what you got from that, is maybe I've always seen that as my medicine and also my gift. That's the relationship right there that I can talk about, that wound of belonging. I can talk about feeling on the outside. I can talk about stuckness. Those things there, and it's not as if I put them into the circle every time. But it's from those places that I'm actually teaching. It's from that place of vulnerability. And that can be inspiring. That can be hugely inspiring. To that element of sort of relational giving back as well. And just do it. Just do it. If you're pulled, and if it really speaks to you, I would say just do it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a matter. What would you
I would
say?
say the same. I would say, yeah, keep practicing. Keep practicing yourself and just show up. Show up and, like you said, be of service. That's really, it's like I can't teach what I don't know. And I feel like the more years I've been teaching, the more I know, the less I have to say as a teacher. I become more of a guide on the side rather than the sage on the stage. It's like I get to step out of the way and let the teaching nourish all of us. And what a joy and a privilege it is to get to that place. So getting older is just getting better, which when I was younger, I couldn't have imagined that to be true. And that being gentle and honest and compassionate and respectful of your own process is key. Like letting yourself make mistakes and forgive yourself and keep showing up and being of service is it.
It's not always easy as well, actually, but maybe that's a slightly different conversation. But that element there, actually, that it's a vulnerable place to hold at times. Financially, it might not work out at times. There's all kinds of obstacles along the way. But looking over the last 20 years now, It's given me so much, friendships around the world. I'm still dancing with people on a dance floor I was dancing with 20 years ago, that
Yeah.
friends, and that is worth its weight in gold. It really
Yeah.
is. Those connections and everything else. So it's not always obvious for me. This is me. It's not always obvious what I'm getting from something until maybe a little way further down the road, even though I thought those times were difficult, even,
Yeah.
struggling with just a few dancers coming along to your groups and things like that. But it's all grit for the mill, as they say, or something.
Yeah. And the fact that we're not alone, that we are alone and yet we're together. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about this is where there is a community, and that's what's so beautiful about this ICMTA. There's like you can always drop in. The fact that I can just Zoom call you and connect is a beautiful gift.
Well, you
So
have times, haven't you, actually?
I
Outside of this has been a few. Oh, can you just Skype me? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm really grateful for our friendship and our connection, and we have a working relationship, and I feel really lucky. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise, yeah. And I've even had tea at your place in LA.
That's
So
right.
hey. It's a little smaller as well.
I sat with you on the bench at Findhorn with our decaf lattes. That's right.
Absolutely.
And scones. Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. Well, may the dance continue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Heather, for inviting me for your chat. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Cody.